Today from Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11.
Matthew, chapter number 11. Going to read the last three verses, beginning with the 28th verse. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's a wonderful promise. That's good news. And the good thing about it is, it's given to everyone. Come unto me. In the first pages of the Bible, we find that when Adam, our forefather, disobeyed God and sinned and partook of the forbidden fruit. The Bible tells me that at that time he plunged the entire human race into sin. Somebody must say, Brother Jones, he was the only man. He plunged the entire human race that was to come into sin. And every man been born of man and woman from that day until today has been born with a sin nature. Born in sin and saved in iniquity. Only one man has lived without sin. His name is Jesus. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Born of a virgin. And the Bible tells me because of the sin that has come into this earth and its existence, God said there will be a warfare continually. There will be a warfare between good and evil, between right and wrong, between Satan and Christ. There will always be this warfare until he comes. And he said to Satan these words the first time he ever promised a Messiah. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He went on to say, how that it shall bruise, thou shalt bruise his heel, and let me read it, I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan, you will cause a lot of trouble. You'll even bruise the very heel of the Messiah, and it says, but he's going to crush your head. Right is going to win out. God was promising that one day he's going to send the Messiah. He's going to send the King. He's going to send the Deliverer. And when he came there, when he came on the earth, or when he would come on the earth, he would change things completely. Everything would be new. It'd be a different day. And at the time of today's scripture setting, sickness had come and gone. I read from the New Testament. All that had happened in the Old Testament was now history. The prophets had preached to the Hebrews, to the seed of Abraham, to the children of God, that if you serve the Lord and obey the Lord, you'll be a happy people and a blessed people. But if you don't, there's going to be consequences. One of these days, I'm going to send the Messiah. And when he comes, it's going to make a difference. Listen to what some of the prophets said. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. The Bible tells me that Jacob, when he was blessing his children before he died, he came to Judah, one of his sons. He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Do you know what Jacob was saying way back in the book of Genesis? He said, I want you to know something to my children, and I want the people of Israel to know that the scepter of a king shall not depart from Judah, nor from the queen of Judah, until Shiloh, the Messiah, comes. And when he comes, it's going to make a difference. I went further. I was reading when Jacob was blessing his sons, and then I came to Isaiah, and he prophesied and said, a forerunner is going to come on the scene. And when he comes on the scene, he's going to be crying out, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make the path straight. Get all the rough places leveled out. I prophesy, he's prophesying about the Messiah coming. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. We'll make a way, a desert in the highway for our God, he said. He was saying to the nation of Israel, your Messiah is coming. Get ready and stay ready. And about that same time, there was another prophet by the name of Micah. He said, listen to Israel, listen to what I say. Your Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to be born. Oh, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, the one that's going to be born in your town, in your city, is going to be the Messiah.
Amen.
Micah said, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Then in the second chapter of Luke, that chapter that we read oftentimes at Christmas, there were shepherds abiding in the field at night, watching, keeping watch over their flocks. Suddenly there was an angel of the Lord that appeared unto them and said, fear not. And went on to say, run to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know what he's saying? Shepherds, your Messiah has come. The Deliverer has been born. The Messiah, you'll find him in a manger, yonder in Bethlehem. Your Messiah has come. I read on. I read the first chapter of John. I came to a verse that says, he came. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And I thought, God had promised in the third chapter of Genesis, I'm going to send the Messiah. In the book of Genesis, later on, he says, through Jacob, I'm going to send the Messiah. When you read the Psalms, David says, the Messiah is coming. When you come to Isaiah, he said, the Messiah is coming. When you come to Daniel, Daniel said, the Messiah is coming. When you come to Micah, he says, he's coming and he's going to be born in Bethlehem. When you come to Luke, he's come. When you come to John, he came. And they didn't want him. He came, but they turned their backs on him. He came, but they said, we don't want anything to do with him. Crucify him. And we're living 2,000 years on this side of the cross. And multiplied thousands a day are saying, we don't want him. He said, Brother Jones, they're not saying crucify him, they might as well. Anybody that turns their back on the Lord is saying, put another nail in his hand for me. Crucify him. Crucify him. And that verse that I read or quoted from first chapter of John, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know the rest of it. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. But as many as received him, thank God. Aren't you glad you received him? While we were singing that song a while ago in the choir, in the congregation, and choir members were rejoicing, and some standing, and hands were raised in the congregation, and you were worshiping and praising and rejoicing and magnifying God about that day when the Lord shall come. And then when he came on the scene, they turned their backs on him. Listen closely. A lot of people don't want him. They don't want to hear about him. But the more I read about him, and the more I hear about him, the more I love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a mighty God. I love him. I love him, I love him, I love him. Hallelujah. Now he says in the 11th chapter of Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said in Luke 2, to all people, he said in John 1, to as many. He said in John 3, to whosoever. He says in Romans, to whosoever. Jesus is extending the invitation today to those that are tired and weary in a constant battle against evil and against sin and against all that's going on in the world. To all those who are burdened down with the cares of this life. To all that will come, he says, regardless of the nationality or the background, a Jew or a Gentile, a bond or free, a black or white, it makes no difference. Whosoever will, let him come. And I'm glad he said, Glenn, that includes you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm glad that I'm a part of that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God. Now I was preparing for the sermon and a thought came to me. And if I get to preach a lot more months or weeks or days or more sermons or, and I don't know when that day will be, but listen to this. Some thought came to me that every time God gives the invitation to come, He's got something good to offer. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Did you ever feel tired and weary and worn out? The other Sunday when that medication that I'd been given caused my heart to slow down to 30-some beats a minute. That's not very much. And I was struggling in the morning service and the night service. Didn't know what was wrong, but I didn't have any energy. I was weary. I had it in here, but I couldn't get it out here. And sometimes it's that way spiritually in our lives. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. A thought comes to me, there was a preacher in Arizona, in Stanfield, an elderly man, a man of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and God anointed him and blessed him. A country church had more teenagers than any church in the conference. Out in a cotton field, church. He had a church full. God was anointing. He said to the superintendent, I'd like to go back to Arkansas from whence I came to be with my family where I grew up in my last years. And the superintendent said, could you stay one more year? We don't have anyone to send to Stanfield. He said, I will. God continued to bless. His health was breaking. Superintendent went to him and said, I would like me to get someone else for the church. I'd like to spend just some time with my family back in Arkansas. They didn't have anyone else to send, and Sherman said, would you stay just a little while longer? And he died in that church. Never went back to Arkansas. Never got to retire or be with his family and friends back in Arkansas. You might say, well, Brother Jones, how does that fit in? Really, he was give out. He'd given out, and God had blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. And he felt like, surely I could sit down for a moment. He didn't say that. Surely I can just enjoy some family and friends. But he stayed on the battlefield until his life was gone. I want you to know something. God's got a reward for somebody like that on the other side. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I thought, what a rest it is in the Lord. Doesn't mean that when we get to heaven, we're going to get rest. I found we've got rest right now. Jesus is the one that gives rest in our souls. Your body can be worn out, but inside your very life, you can know you have peace with God, rest with God. Amen, amen. All ye, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to run through some scriptures today, some Bible examples of how that God has given the invitation in the 7th chapter of Genesis. The Bible says, before God sent the flood of judgment upon an evil and ungodly and a violent world, God said unto Noah, come down, and all thine house into the ark. And I say, amen. I like the way that God said it. He didn't say just Noah, come in, Noah. He said, come in, Noah, and all thy house. Hallelujah. I believe it today. If you have an unsaved family member, keep on praying, keep on believing, keep on trusting. God hears. Yes. Amen. Two Sundays ago when Danny walked down the aisle over there in the altar and prayed, I want you to know something. That didn't just happen. Somebody's prayed. He's asked prayer now for some part of his family. God hears. And he answers. God didn't say, just come in, Noah. Come on in, Noah, and all thy house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is that God promising that all your house will be saved? He wants your house to be saved. And He'll do everything He can to get them saved. He doesn't save anyone against their will. But I'm asking God to stir their hearts in such a manner that they want to get saved. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Before the flood came, come on in, Noah. Let me say this before I go on today. We don't have an ark out there to come in before the storm comes and before the rains come, spiritual, in a sense, a flood comes. But I want you to know that God is our ark today. He's our place of refuge. He's our place of safety. If we'll come to God, He will wrap us up in His arms. Come on in, He says. Man, I'm glad I came in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I haven't been looking for a way out. Come on in. I read further in the Bible and I came to Isaiah. Judah had sinned and gone back into idolatry. They'd forsaken Jehovah God and they were going the ways of all the other nations around about, and God still cared and He loved them. And He sent the prophet Isaiah to send a message, to give a message unto His people. And this is what He said. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Amen. What a wonderful Lord. He promises to forgive. He promises to save. He promises to restore. He promises to wipe the slate clean. He promises to make us a new creature. When I let Brian out of the car over on Mercury Boulevard Friday afternoon after praying with him in the office, he was a new man. He doesn't have a car. He was a new creature. Had something to live for. I'm glad that God, when He saves, He makes a new creature out of us. Hallelujah. Come now. And let us reason together, said the Lord. Come now. Some people say, well, Brother Jones, I'm going to wait until I'm a little older, or I've got plenty of time, or I haven't lived yet. I haven't sown any wild oats. If you sow wild oats, you won't be living. You'll find that that's death while you're alive. Come now, He says. What an invitation. Come now. And I'll wipe your sins away and I'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. I told you a while ago, every time God says come, He offers something good. I read on. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to the 26th chapter of Isaiah. He's already said, if you'll come, you'll eat the good of the land. If you'll be obedient, if you'll obey me, you'll be blessed abundantly. And that promise still holds true today. 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a moment until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish and the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. What is he saying? As I mentioned, as we talked in Bible study, in the midst of the 7 years of tribulation, that is the indignation that Isaiah is talking about here. In the middle of the tribulation period, the Bible says Antichrist is going to turn against the Jews. He's coming into the temple of God in the city of Jerusalem. He's going to defile the temple. He's going to offer sacrifice as of a service. I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah of Israel. They've been looking for Him. Did you know the Israelites are looking for the Messiah today? Big sign in Brooklyn. Big sign in Brooklyn. The Messiah is coming. Jews. They don't know Him as Jesus Christ. But they're looking for the Old Testament Messiah that Jesus has already fulfilled, but they believe He's coming. I read books from chosen people, their monthly literature that we support, how that God is moving amongst the Jews, and many of those that are Orthodox Jews are not saved yet, but they're looking for the Messiah. Now Isaiah says in the 26th chapter, "Come, come, my people. Enter into your chambers until the indignation be overpassed. Come during the tribulation period. Come to a place that I have prepared for you. I will protect you. I will take care of you until the indignation be overpassed." And then he's coming back, he says in the 26th chapter. Then he's coming back. Let me read it again. Those last two verses. "Come, my people, into thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for all the moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose the blood and shall no more cover the slain." When the Lord comes back to the earth again, at the end of the tribulation period, there's going to be the battle of Armageddon. You've heard about it. Even the news media is talking about it. People are talking about it on the job, about the end of the world, about the battle of Armageddon. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And millions will die and the blood will be flow freely. And now God is saying, in the word of prophecy, "Come, my people, enter into thy chambers. I've got a place of refuge for you until the indignation, until the tribulation be overpassed. Hide you away until the tribulation is overpassed. And then I'm coming back to spare the evil from the world. All that's in the world, the sin, the rest, to put it aside. And then have the millennial reign." What are you saying, preacher? He said, "Come, my people, Israel." Yes. We've talked about it Wednesday. I'm going to try to have some slides or something prepared. We know in our hearts what the Bible says. During the tribulation period, God is going to take some Jews from Israel. When the Antichrist turns against them to destroy them, he's going to break the treaty, the peace treaty. Hasn't been signed yet, but it will be. He will break it when he goes into the temple, and he'll turn against the Jews, and the Jews will turn against him, and he will try to kill the Jews, and they will flee, and the Lord's got a place prepared for them in the land of Moab, in a place called Petra, the great little city. We hope to have some slides on the screens this Wednesday night to show you again where that scripture's going to be fulfilled. "Come, my people, enter into thy chambers until the indignation be overpassed, until I come back to this earth again. And when I come back again," he says, "back to the earth, I'm going to take care of things." Thank God. This whole Bible fits together from Genesis to Revelation. I read on. I found in the 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, when Paul was writing to the believers in the church of Corinth, he's encouraging them to go on to holiness, to live a separated life. He was saying, and I said, like so many people are saying today, people will say that it's not wrong to do this, and it's not wrong to do this, and look at them over there, that church, they can do certain things, and why can't you do this, or why can't you do that? You people down there that bundle like tabernacle, you're just bound up. Listen closely to what the preacher says this morning. "He who the Son sets free is free indeed. When he washed my sins away, he didn't put me in bondage, brother. He gave me liberty." Hallelujah. I can do anything I want to do. But God has changed my want to. I want to please him, not the world. I want to please him, not self. I want to please him, not my family. I want to please him. Brother, that's where the joy is. Amen. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, in the chapter that I was reading, 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says, "Therefore come out from among them and be accepted, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I said, whenever God says come, whenever God gives the invitation to come, he's got something good at the other end. He says, "Come and I will receive you. Come and I will bless you. Come and I will meet your needs. Come and I'll be with you. I'll walk with you." Brother, every time God says come, you do something good. Hallelujah. Listen closely to what John says. John the Apostle, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are therein. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I I'm going to close in a moment. Paul was saying you can't run with the world and remain pure. You can't frequent the places of worldly entertainment and have a pure heart and have the joy of the Lord flooding your soul. You can't indulge in sinful practices and live in victory. We've come to the place in this generation of the church that seemingly nothing is sin any longer. Everything is all right. Everything. It makes no difference. You can find someone to tell you that this is not wrong, and this is not wrong, and this is not wrong, and you'll find some preachers that will never say anything at all about sin. I would do you a disservice if I preached to this congregation and didn't let you know that sin will damn your soul to hell. And we've come to the place in the religious world that everything's being accepted. Everything. God has wiped out the entire cities because of some sins, and people today in the church are saying, well, it's all right now. Talking to Tom and Eddie before service, and somebody mentioned about the Bible, and, well, that's a long time ago, and we're living in a different age. Listen closely to this answer that was given, and I give the same answer. It might be a different age, and it might be a different fad, and it might be a different fancy, but the Bible is not different. It will stand the test of the ages. God doesn't change. He says, come, my people, come now. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to close out in a moment. I have found something in the Bible that I have waited for almost 57 years. It hasn't happened yet. When I tell you that I've read the Bible through so many times, I hope you understand, that's not to brag. God could care less whether I've read it 50 times or 100 times. But I want it to be a part of my life. If I just read it one more time, as long as I live, I want to digest it. Feast on it. But I read something. And I realized that's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been longing for. That's three words that I've been wanting to hear. When I got called to preach in November 1958, that was just as real as anything in this world. God said these words, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I've had to run to that scripture, but there's three words that I've been longing for ever since my wife and I walked down the aisle February 1955 and got saved. And I've read them in the Bible, and I'm waiting to hear them. He said to John in the 4th chapter of Revelation, come up here. I read in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I read, come up hither. That's what I'm waiting for. If the rapture doesn't take place in my lifetime, one of these days, I'm going to hear him say, Glenn, come on home. Come up hither. You don't have to be as old as I am to hear those words. And when I read the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians about that shout and the trumpet sounding and the voice of the archangel, I don't know exactly what the words will be, but it might be, come up hither. come on. For 57 years this February, I've been reading the Bible and praying and trying to live according to this Word. And I've been waiting. I thought He would come in my first pastorate. And I left that in 1962. I thought He would surely come in my second pastorate. And I left that in December 1963. Surely in the next one. And I left that in the end of 1967, middle of 1968. And the next one, 1974. And here we are, having been here these years. I don't know when it's going to happen. As my wife comes to the piano, I want to close with this. Every time God says to me, come, Glenn, He's got His hands out giving me something else. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you blessings. I'll meet your needs. When God spoke to my wife and I on the same day to go full time in the ministry, when our church was paying us $10 a week, a new church, and I've told the story before, but let me tell it again. And I announced that night in a revival that I'm turning in my resignation from the post office. I'm giving them a 2 weeks' notice tomorrow morning. God's called us to full-time ministry. Some people might have thought we lost our mind. There was not enough money in that church that had come in tithes and offerings to pay our bills. We had a house trailer and an automobile we're paying for. They didn't take that kind of money in. When the service was over, one of my deacons, I don't have but two, he said, could we meet with you? And I said, yes. When the people were leaving, we went in the classroom and I sat down with Brother Womack and with Brother Six. And both of them began to testify or talk. One was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian, Brother Franklin Six. And this is what they said. One was a military man, one was a civil service man. They both said these words, Brother Jones, we believe it's God. We believe it's God that's told you to go full-time, and we know that God will somehow work it out. And they said this to me that night. Brother Womack said, I have a job. I'm in the service. I'm a tech sergeant in the service. I'll get a night job to see that you have food on your table and you can pay your bills. Franklin Six, a man that worked in the motor pool of civil service, he said, now get me a second job. We'll see to it that your bills are met. That was in April 1962. Brother Womack didn't have to get a second job. Brother Six didn't have to get a second job because the God that called us into the ministry said, I'll take care of you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. We didn't write to our parents. We didn't ask for any money. Didn't ask for any money from the conference. Just gave it all to God. I'm standing here as a living testimony this morning. He's never failed us one time. I recommend Him to everybody. I don't mean just make one time trip to the altar. I mean live for Him every day. He's been abundantly a wonderful Savior, abundantly blessed. He's been so good to us. He's been so good. I'll use one more testimony, one more short testimony. Play something softly, honey. I might never quit. Thanksgiving Day, our family was over. My wife was unable to cook like she used to. Not for her heart. Her heart's doing well, but something's wrong in her back and her legs, and sometimes she can't make it up steps. She can't make it to the kitchen, pulling away. Thursday was a day similar to that. Friday was even worse. But praying here at the church. Her praying at home, and you praying. Thank you, church. Yesterday, she said, one leg is good. If just the other leg would be as well. This morning I said, how you doing, honey? She said, that one leg is still good. I believe God's able to take care of the other. I believe it's from the back. But God knows the reason. God knows why it's there. God knows where it's coming from. I believe that God says, when He says come, He's got His hands out to give something. Will you stand with me?